Hey, look at us. We're back after a week off. This is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Leah Tubby. And we're on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitch right now with our live stream. But we also very much appreciate all those who listen to us on the regular podcast, like Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Podcaster, Castro, so many others. So if you're out there listening to us, that, and if you haven't subscribed yet, please do subscribe and follow so that we can be on your airwaves every single week. Now, we weren't on the airwaves last week because bye weeks, I tell you what, are boring. They kind of suck. I mean, they're good for the team to get a rest. And I did enjoy the rest. We didn't have to do any show prep or anything like that. But yeah, it's nice to be back. Welcome back, Tubby. And talk to you in a week.
Thank you, man. Welcome back. Welcome back to you as well, man. Ready to get into it. Excited to see how this season resumes, man, for us, man, on this last little stretch. So I'm excited, man. Also fantasy football playoffs.
We will talk fantasy football playoffs and at the end of the show, that's for sure. And yeah, so this week, getting ready to get back into it. Last four games of the regular season are upon us. It's hard to believe that we're here that soon, but here we are. And we've got all divisional opponents. We've got three of the last four games at home. And we're not really leaving the Philadelphia area very much. We got to go to Washington. But right now we're at home, back at the Link, after the bye week against a severely depleted Washington football team. You know, my thing is with this game is I almost didn't prepare any stats or anything, because if you look at the football team, and I hate saying that, I don't mind that they're getting rid of the Redskins. Do you, whatever you want to do. But come up with a team name. It has been long enough for them to come up with something. The Cleveland Indians have changed their name like that. They're ready to go. Other teams have done it. Why are you holding on to this Washington football team? Are you think you're going to come up with a gem or something neat like that? But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but I had to get that disclaimer out there. But the truth is, they're
hurting. Let me tell you how I feel about the Redskins.
but they're hurting right now. It's crazy. It almost doesn't even matter to look at the statistics in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of them are pretty even when you do look at them,
right,
for the most part. Yeah, and then, you know, as we go through it, you know, we'll decipher what's going on with them, man.
Definitely.
But I do feel you. It's both 6 and 7 teams coming in.
And right now, because it's so important, bringing up the playoff picture, and because we're down to the final four games, right now Washington is sitting in that last playoff spot for the wild card, because the four division leaders get in and the top three wild card teams get in this year. So there's 7 wild card teams or 7 playoff teams instead of 6. So that benefits the Eagles somewhat. And we're sitting there right behind Minnesota and Washington at 6 and 7. Well, everybody tied in there, but we've beaten Atlanta and New Orleans, so we don't have to worry about them as long as we keep winning. But the fact of the matter is, you beat Washington on Sunday, they assume that spot. They will leapfrog Minnesota and be 7 and 7 and in the playoffs officially, with 3 games to go. So this is an important one, but like we said, is that I got up this morning and I started looking at the injury report. I literally started looking at it and I went, I can't put this on a slide to show or talk about because there's just too many injuries that Washington's going through right now. I actually felt bad. I mean, not that bad, but I felt bad looking at what they got going on. It's crazy.
Washington, Tyler Heineke. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. And Scary Terry as well, too. Like I said, I know you didn't bring up the report, but those are the two highlights for me.
Exactly.
McLaurin, which I think he will play. I think McKissick isn't returning, so they really just have Gibson. We know Young is out for the year.
I tell you what, let's get right to it, because it is relevant right now compared to all the stats. You got to throw the stats out the window when you got like this. All right, let's look at the Eagles real quick. We've got Jordan Howard questionable for this week, but signs point to him playing. Jalen Hurts, we'll talk about this more as well, is, again, questionable for this week with an ankle injury. And then you have Quez Watkins, who is on the IR COVID. Now, he's definitely looking like definitely out. And then you got Barnett is questionable with a neck injury against Washington. So that's all we have. Now, what I did with the Washington report, I took a look at their starting depth chart at the start of the season compared to what they have right now. So you look at their starters that they started the season with. Ryan Fitzpatrick out. So Tyler Heineke's got a knee injury. but he has to go because Kyle Allen is on the COVID list. They got Antonio Gibson, but McKissick can't play. McLaurin is in the concussion protocol, so more than likely will not play, possible. Then you go down here, you got Logan Thomas is on IR, their tight end. Their center is out. Their right tackle is out. Chase Young, their defensive end, their star is out. Plus his backup is out. I mean, I was looking down the list. I mean, it's crazy. Kyle Allen, and it was really the COVID bug that hit him. It's just like it ripped through Washington football team. I mean, this couldn't be better timing for the Eagles because you've got Kyle Allen, COVID. Sims, their wide receiver, COVID. Settle, defensive tackle, COVID. Reyes, their backup tight end, COVID. Eifer, their linebacker, COVID. Forrest, COVID. This is crazy stuff. And it just goes on and on. I mean, their injury report is, it looks like the walking wounded out there. It is insane. I've never seen anything like it going into a game. It's like somebody referred to it as like the movie The Replacements, where they're going to be pulling people off the street. They can throw anybody want to play football. It's like the movie, what was it, Invincible with the Eagles, where they just had tryouts in the middle of the stadium.
Yeah,
it's that bad. It's insane.
I didn't know it was that bad, but that illustration right there really shows, because even McLaurin, I wasn't really sure if he was going to play or not. I know he's such a key factor to him. You know, you got guys like Cam Sims that can step up, and also Curtis Samuels on there as well, too. So, but they don't have, like you said, man, they're depleted. And, you know, we're almost back to healthy for the most part on our line. So we should be able to push these guys around a little bit in this game. We should be able to.
It's hard because it's like, the only thing we really got is Quez Watkins being out. And that's a big loss. And then Jalen Hurts. So let's talk about the Jalen Hurts thing right now. This is the longest ankle injury that I've seen in the history of the National Football League. And the reports came out today that Sirianni's giving Minshew and Hurts equal snaps in the walkthrough because they're not sure that Jalen can go. They asked Jalen Hurts how he felt today, and he said he's taking it day by day. But it's like, wow. Yeah. It makes you wonder if, because the Washington is so depleted, that maybe they just give Minshew the start this week again against another really bad team, just because this should be. I mean, I just have to say it. If they lose to a team that this injured, where they're basically third-string players are starting, this is like us playing in against a preseason third-quarter, fourth-quarter squad with our starters. It's not fair. And if they lose this game, that's going to be devastating. But it's kind of one of those games where you got to go in and go, well, we just don't want to get anybody hurt ourselves, so maybe we throw Minshew out there, let Hurts heal up the ankle. You know Hurts is going to want to play, though. So it's a tough thing. What do you think about that? I mean, what do you think?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think we should play our starters. Hurts said he was healthy to play the Jets game. So he was healthy going into the bye. Well, not healthy, but he said he was ready to play.
Right.
Then you have the bye week, you're home getting all that extra, you know, care from the, you know, from the staff. I'm not really sure, man. I didn't really even give it that much of a thought. I just thought when I seen it that Jalen Hurts was ready to go. All the interviews I've seen from Sirianni, ready to go. You know, they asked, you know, when healthy, you know, who's going to play, you know, courses, you know, as far as those definitive answers.
Right.
So I'm not really sure, man. I'm not really sure. I am happy that Howard's back to practice this week, you know, even on a limited basis, but it's still good, you know, bad for Sanders, but it's good for the Eagles.
I agree.
So, yeah, man, I'm not really sure, you know. I mean, I think if Jalen Hurts is healthy, I think you should play him. I think Washington, you know, even with all their injuries, you know, they're still a cohesive, they seem to be a cohesive unit. They've only lost one out of their last, like, six games, I think, or five games or something like
right.
that. You know, they went on a big run before they took the loss to the Cowboys. They were on a run.
Yeah,
you know, they were on a run.
Yeah, before the loss to the Cowboys, they'd beaten the Raiders and the Seattle Seahawks, the Panthers, and the big win against the Buccaneers, 29-19.
So this team as a unit, you know, that next man up, you know, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they had a next man up concept. Even to the quarterback position, you know, we win it with Foles, but with this many depleted players, absolutely. Then I wonder who is playing. Then I mean, if you just wiped out 26 guys off a 53-man roster,
exactly.
Who's dressing for the game? So yeah, man. But I think that's definitely a winnable game. Tyler Heineke plays. You know, having McLaurin out would be huge. Be a really big, huge deal for him. They lost Logan Thomas last week. To a hamstring injury, so he's out, and he's a big part of their offense. He's way better than was it Ricky Seals Jones?
Yeah, Jones. Yeah, Seals Jones. Yep.
Seals Jones. So, and he's a quality backup, you know. So, but yeah, overall they're down to one back. I think if we can stop the run, you know, Antonio Gibson is playing. He's still a pretty solid player. I think he always benefited from having that change of pace with McKissick in there and getting that rest. Now he's been the workhorse. He hasn't necessarily like killed it.
Right.
But then Washington's just been a team that's just been doing enough. Even coming into this year, you know, they have a veteran coach, Ron Rivera. So it should be expected that Ron Rivera should have his team ready to play, man. They're right there on the cusp of the play, or they're in the playoffs right now. You know, technically, you know, they ended today, but it's definitely a game I look forward to the Eagles winning. I think they should win for sure.
Well, yeah, consider when you take the whole injury thing into consideration, it has to be a must win. Mm-hmm. Washington, like you said, they won four out of the last five. And that game against the Cowboys, they came from behind, and it was a flurry of stuff that they forced mm-hmm. Dak into some interceptions, got the score back up, and then Heinicke went out with the knee injury, and, mm-hmm. and Kyle Allen had to come in, and now he's out with the COVID thing. So that is really sketchy for them because they've got nobody right. but Heinicke. I don't even know who's coming in off the practice squad.
Right.
If Heinicke goes down and he's on a bum knee, it's one of those mm-hmm. things where man, if the Eagles don't win this one, this is sad. Mm-hmm. So, but I know that it's important to them because they've got that final playoff spot and they don't want to lose it to the Eagles. You got a little shout out there from one of your boys there, Mike Bradshaw.
It's my brother. It's my brother.
Oh, so you say hey.
Yeah, it's my brother. What's up, bro? What's up?
But
thanks for stopping by for sure.
Yeah, looking at the last four games, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, we had the big win against the Jets, and what's frustrating is that that giant loss is still sticking in my throat is just because that's a game that they should have won. And they wouldn't even be worried about this game right now if they'd have beaten that giant game. We talked about that before and after the giant game. So we got to do what we got to do. Stat-wise, I mean, it's really hard to compare. I mean, we've got really good stats going into the game. The problem is, you know, our passing yards ain't what they should be. You know, we're scoring right now 12th in the league in points, Washington at 23rd. Points allowed, we're at 16th. We're right in the middle of the road. Washington, 23rd again. Yards per game, we're about middle of the road. The passing yards is the big problem, is that we're sitting there at 31st in the league. Now, granted, rushing yards, we're first. 160 yards a game, so that's huge going into this one, especially on a depleted defense. I think that it's important to be able to do that. And then sacks, we're not really getting pressure on the quarterback, sitting at 29th. Interception sitting at 20th at 9. So, yeah, there's a lot to think about going into the game. But, again, how do you measure it against, you know, what Washington's going to put out there? Because as far as I know, it's going to be a lot of third stringers and practice squad guys, what it seems like. So, but let me let you break it down with your keys to victory based on everything that we just talked about.
Yeah, man. So, basically, man, keep running the ball. You know, we're number one in the league. You know, it doesn't matter how you score, as long as you score. And if we can, you know, come out. We have all our backs, especially we have Sanders, Howard, Bart Scott. I think that's all we need, man. Maybe this will give more time to put Gainwell in that special teams position as a returner that we've been talking about with having those guys back. If McLaurin plays, last week Diggs shut him down. You know, he had no catches against Diggs. I think, you know, they played bad, period. They put a lot of pressure on Heinicke, but McLaurin against Slay, that's really the only matchup I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. Cam Sims can play. He scored a touchdown for him last week. And Samuels is a little vet as well, too. He can catch the ball as well, too. I think if we win that matchup and run the ball, man, I think we're laughing, you know, in the game because we're controlling the clock if we're able to run the ball as well, too. Heinicke, you know, if he plays, you know, he's coming in on a three-game interception streak. You know, so he's prone to turn the ball over a lot. He has a lot of picks on the season. Actually, I was actually surprised by how many picks he's throwing. I think about 12. So keep the pressure on him. You know, Cowboys got to him four times last week and sacked him, eventually hurt him. A lot of pressure, a lot of hits on him. He was real uncomfortable that first half. You know, they put up a goose egg. And the Cowboys offense, they were kind of moving, but I think they only had that one. They had like what, pick six or something? That was later on in the game or something. So they didn't really get going. You know, Zeke didn't get going. I think Corey Clement was also in the game for him as well, too. So, you know, they're decent against the run, but we'll see, man. We should be able to, with our line very physical, we should be able to run through them. Like I said, we keep the pressure on Heinicke. I think we'll have a lot of success, man. And, you know, I was listening to Seth Joyner, old Seth Joyner.
Oh, yeah.
Old Eagle legend. And he was talking about you know, the show that he was on, they, you know, the host asked him, he said, hey, you know, what do you think about Jalen Hurts? He's going to be a franchise quarterback. And one thing he talked about, and it's kind of what I've been trying to articulate, like to the point of this year, was that he feels like the development of Hurts has been botched. And I think I agree with him. You know, I think that's the word I was trying to find when I kept talking about all the changes that they went through with the offense and the inconsistency, where you're asking Hurts to throw the ball 40 times, you know, in his first seven games, throwing the ball 35, 40 times. And these aren't even designated runs. Half of them are RPOs, you know, so just the mix. And then you finally do what people have been asking all year, is to run the ball and make adjustments on defense. And then you see the Eagles start to have success. So I put this down here because when it comes to the RPOs, I don't think, and we've mentioned this week after week, that they are the best thing for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is very accurate when it comes to the play action. And as you see against that Jets game, that's a lot of the same success that Gardner Minshew had too, was in the play action, that play action. So I think when you have a team that is expecting you to run, when you have a line that can block, that run blocking line that we have, I don't really see the need to run Hurts as much. And I think down this stretch, if we're going to try to even see if he's going to be a franchise quarterback, I think we need to give him a better playbook, better options. Right. You know, like I said, you know, to expect your quarterback to take 15 to 20 hits a game is crazy to me. And another thing, Seth, you know, compared the two was, you know, just the changes that coaches can make to help the player. He mentioned, you know, Mac Jones. I mentioned a few weeks back that, right, you know, they're only asking Mac Jones to throw the ball about 5 yards. You know, he's looking at his average about 5.3 yards. You know, even the good games, they only asked him to throw the ball 3 times. I understand it was weather. I get all that. They only asked him to throw the ball 3 times. Why? Because you just do what works. You know what I'm saying? You just do what works. Nobody's like, you know, worrying about the passing numbers. They just like, are you scoring? You know, are you scoring touchdowns? And that was just kind of my whole thing, man. I think if we put Hurts into play action, giving less just designated carries, and just letting him run more on the scramble, I think that's just better for the offense in general. Because now if you have a defense that can just stop the run, what do? Now you're asking Hurts to do something that you haven't asked them to do all year. And I don't think the passing game is a fluke. I think that when you let him just play, you know, I know we talk about a lot of the garbage passing yards that he's had, you know, garbage time. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think that's when the playbook is the most open. Right. So they didn't swap out and put the high school players, and he's still playing against a professional offense.
Right.
So those yards are still yards, no matter how you slice them. Now we understand some teams going to prevent, but our teams play prevent the whole game, and we still managed to do somewhat okay. So I think, man, Sirianni needs to really work out a game plan for Hurts and stick to it for the rest of the year, so we can see what's going to happen going into next year, regardless if we make the playoffs. And I just wanted to throw that in on the tail end of it, man. So how you think, man? What you think about those keys, man?
So going back to what you said with the Hurts, you've said that, I think you've maintained that all year, is that, and we've noticed that the more we see the RPO, and that we see that it's not really, he doesn't fail at it, but he's stronger in other areas. He's stronger when he has a designed run, or a called pass, or a play action. Like you said, play action is huge. Because if we're running the ball so well, and let's be honest, we're number one in the league running the ball, RPOs aren't really necessary at this point, because you can draw the defense in just from their fear of Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. So, yeah, exactly. Definitely. And then that will leave our receivers, who are struggling to get open, except for Devontae, more open space in the field to be able to catch passes. So it's such a no-brainer. The running the ball thing is a definite. If we don't come out against this depleted team and just shove it down their throat, I mean, like the first drive, it should be like that drive against the Jets where I don't even think they passed on one of those drives against the Jets. It was all running plays, like 10 running plays, and they scored, and it was great. Same thing with the Giants. Their only touchdown of the game against the Giants was when they just exclusively ran the ball, and I think you're dead on the money when it comes to that key to victory. The other thing for me is, as far as the keys go, is Jonathan Gannon again, because you mentioned it. We're in prevent defense the whole game. If we come out against Washington and we're laying back against Heinicke or whoever is back there,
whoever.
I don't get that against this guy. I guess a guy that if you pressure him, makes mistakes. You're not going to destroy us on the ground with Gibson. We don't have to worry about the blitz getting burned by it. We just don't. When they're this banged up, this is where you really go after them. And Gannon's going to show me a lot, because you know how I've been down on him with his scheme because of the constant prevent, the bend but don't break. I think we've got horses that can play on defense, and I don't think we're putting them in the right positions to make plays. When we do, and he has done it, it has looked really well, and we've caused turnovers, we caused sacks. When he doesn't, like against the Raiders, when we made Derek Carr look like a future Hall of Famer, and he only missed three passes, I mean, that's embarrassing, and he doesn't adjust. Right. So I think that going into Washington, that's going to be key for me. So is going into that. And that kind of brings us into our one of our favorite segments for this week is our
Hell to the No. To the No, No, No.
Love the song.
Hell, No, No. To the No, No. Hell to the No, No. To the No, No.
So this, our guys from A to D Radio, who I actually just love listening to them talk about the Eagles, their Philly-based podcast setup. They got a bunch of different podcasts out there, so I follow them on Facebook. They posted this meme today, and it was great for Hell to the Nah, because if you haven't been following Rasul Douglas in Green Bay, he's had back-to-back weeks with pick sixes. Plus, he's become their premier corner on that team right now. He's a ball hawk, and he's one of the reasons that their defense is playing so well. So this meme basically has Collinsworth from the Sunday night game. Where the heck did Rasul Douglas come from? And every Eagle fan holding back the tears. Because we had this guy. We drafted him in the third round in 2017. He never really came into fruition with the Eagles. He struggled. We saw him get burned quite a bit. But I maintain, and I maintain then and I maintain now, that it was Schwartz's system, which is very similar to Gannon's system. It was a bend but don't break. Stay 10 yards off the ball. It's the same thing with Jalen Mills. I know that we saw Jalen Mills get burned, but he's playing in New England right now and playing better. It's because of the scheme he's in. These guys aren't, NFL corners aren't meant to spend their time 10 yards off the ball and waiting for something to happen. That's not what they're meant to do. And again, like I've said before, they're not meant to be up in the face and constantly bump and run. It's that happy medium where you give them space where they can, because the best receivers in the NFL, they're still going to burn you from time to time. It's the average guys and the average quarterbacks. You got to give these guys, a chance to shine. And that's what Rasul Douglas has been doing. The pass he picked off of Justin Fields in that Green Bay game was beauty. And he ran it back for a touchdown, which is what you want out of your corner. And we had this guy. And right now I think we got two really good corners in Nelson and Slay. And to me it's a travesty to be leaving him 10 yards off the ball. Five yards, within space to be able to make a play. Trust your defensive backs. And that's what I want to see Gannon do. Start trusting these guys to make plays. Because then your linebackers can make plays too over the middle. But when you sell out like that, you're leaving your linebackers to cover the middle entirely. And these little wide receivers are just running out in front of our linebackers. And then Slay can't make a play, and neither can the linebackers. I beat the horse to death. I'm not going to do it anymore tonight. But that's our Hell to the Nah for this week. What do you think about how Rasul is playing in Green Bay?
I haven't checked him out that much, but I have seen the stat line on him. I have, tuned into some of the Packers games. I do see he's playing really well. I did see on I think it popped up just on my screen. It says Green Bay got a pick six, and I saw Rasul Douglas. I was like, damn, man. Wow. Every time I see an ex-Eagle anywhere doing well, especially on defense, I just, man. Every time, like you mentioned, Jalen Mills, a lot of players, man, when they go to the Patriots, they just play different due to the scheme. I mean, Patrick Chung, I know we got him from the Patriots. He came over to us. He looked really bad. Sending him back to the Patriots, he looks good again. Oh, so Patriots just have a different scheme. I know we talk about the Patriots, very loosely, but they have a Hall of Fame coach there, one of the greatest of all time. So it's no miracle. We're talking about a guy who's still off the Bill Parcells tree. Isn't he from the Bill Parcells tree? They were in New York together, Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He came off the Parcells tree. Yeah. Right? He was D.C. Wasn't he D.C. for the likes of Carl Banks and, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's massive, Lawrence, massive pedigree.
LT? You LT and Carl Banks days, man, this guy, exactly. When it comes to defense, Right. And you have, mind you, you're playing under the tutelage of Bill Parcells. You know, that's boot camp every day. So you can see that heart and it's, you know, just right. Go over, man. Yes, sir, man.
So one of the things I was looking up is they asked Rasul, why is he all of a sudden succeeding when he hadn't before? And this article says he recently attributed the ability of his new coaches and teammates to teach him how to watch film and discern opponent tendencies as he never has before.
Wow.
Coaching. And that's what we didn't have with Schwartz. I think Schwartz just trusted his defense to do what he told him. He gave him a complex scheme to figure out. And that's what used to kill me was when Malcolm Jenkins, God love him, would you'd see those scenes from when Schwartz was there right after the Super Bowl when things started to fall apart and we were giving up big leads like mm-hmm. we did against Tennessee in 2018. And Malcolm would go over to Schwartz and go, you need to simplify things. We need to just be able to play defense. Stop mm-hmm. trying to have these complex zone schemes because all you're doing is confusing these guys and they're out of position and they're getting burned. And then you'd see the games where Malcolm Jenkins took over and was commanding the defense, how much better they played. And that's why Schwartz is ultimately gone, thank God. But Gannon, I see a willingness to learn. I see a willingness to adapt. But I want to see it on a more consistent basis. So we'll see how this game goes against Washington. But it is hard when you see our guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Jordan Hicks shining again with Arizona this weekend. So it's like, it's hard when you see our former players that we had these diamonds in the rough go off and be diamonds elsewhere when all we got was the coal when they were here with us. So we'll see. All right. We got to look forward to it. Sunday, 1:00 at the Link. Washington coming to town. A very injured Washington. I think they only need a short bus because they aren't going to need to bring the whole team because they only got like a half a roster. So after that, we got some. It's like I said before at the start of the broadcast. It's all division opponents here on out. We got another home game following that. Maybe get some revenge. Now, the Giants again. What sucks is that we lose to them 13-7, and they're just getting beat down by everybody. The Chargers just put a whooping on them this past Sunday, made them look completely horrendous. So now. We have some making up to do. We have to take it to the Giants after this Washington game. You win that, then we're really sitting pretty when the Eagles have to go to Washington, who should be much better with all their players off of COVID, and then we do this rematch thing the other way around.
Is Jones done for the year? Why are you still in the Giants? Is Jones done for the year? I know he hasn't played the last couple games, right? He didn't play last week.
He did not play against the Chargers. Okay. I don't know if he's done for the year.
So we can run into a few backups maybe, especially if Heineke doesn't play. We can run into some.
These next two games could be very winnable if Washington is depleted going into this January 2nd game as well. Because mm-hmm. then all we got left is Dallas at home, and that could be just for pride. It could be just about, hey, we've already got in there. Or it could be, hey, we just need to beat. Because there's so many 6-7 teams right now. They could all be, 9-7 at that point. We don't know. It's going to be fun to watch. I'll say that much. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. So now is the time where we can talk about your fantasy prowess. I'm going to maximize this up so you can see it. You did lose this week, so we don't have to talk about that too much.
it wouldn't have changed anything. This week, no matter what, I was going to come into the playoffs, the fifth seed. I think it changed who got the byes. I think it changed who got the bye week, but I was just going to be the fifth seed no matter what. So playing A. Will, looking forward to it this week, man. I go as Patrick Mahomes got me. Yeah, got me 32 points, but I need that explosion, man. Robinson was, but I mean, look at the Kansas City defense. What a call. You call the Kansas City defense against the Raiders.
Right.
And they do that. So, that's what makes it fantasy football, man. It's like, what? Kansas City, a team that everybody was just scoring on, even the Eagles. Right. Now you get and you have an Eagles team who can't stop the Raiders. It's just weird, man. Any given Sunday, week to week, man, you have to take these matchups. You really do, man. You really do.
I did point out a few weeks ago that Kansas City has been starting to play much, much better defense. Right. And that's got to be scary for the rest of the league, especially the AFC. If they get a defense and then keeps that offense on the field to be able to work out, because the thing about what we've noticed about Mahomes this year is he has to be in a rhythm. And having a team that plays him really hard defensively puts him out of rhythm, and then it puts the Chiefs on their heels, and they've struggled. But the Raiders, that did not happen. Their defense kept the Chiefs' offense on the field, and they dominated. It was unlike anything. It was like the old Super Bowl champion Chiefs. So people got to be scared about the Chiefs getting back up in there because it is going to be tough. But yeah, so you've got an interesting matchup. You know it's four versus five, so that'll be fun. We'll follow that here on the podcast. I am out, of course, so I didn't even mention that. I'm like second from last. I'm just trying not to finish last at this point. But I've got a horrible team. I'm that guy. I had auto draft, and I have never been able to recover from it. But so yeah, so good luck as you go into the championship quarterfinals this week. Let's see what happens. We'll give you guys an update. Now as for me, something I am in is our picks game that I run. And I'm still there. I'm still hanging around the lead. I have been picking so bad. I have been picking around 500 for the last 4 weeks. I've been hovering. And I just can't seem to break it. Now, either I got to have a really good week or I got to have a really bad week. Because I'm just floating. Because right now I did drop from first down to second. I went 7-7 this week and against the spread. So we have a new leader for our picks game, and that is Tim Case. He's at 90 points overall. Just to explain, the points are 10 points for a correct pick, minus 10 for a loss. 20 points for your lock. You get one lock for a week. So that's how that works. But yeah, so we've got him at 90. I'm sitting there at 70 in second place. Darren Muir at 50 in third place. And Dustin Schmidt at 10. He was a co-leader last week and he fell off. A bunch of people still in it, though, at minus 10, minus 50. A lot of people still left in this picks game. So, and a long way to go because we also pick the bowl games. We pick every single bowl games. So we'll kind of cover that in a future podcast on what the bowl game is going to look like. But those, there's so many, so it's crazy. So I'm going to give you my picks against the spread this week, and I'm hoping for a big one, hoping to maybe get back into the lead and kind of lock this thing down with a few weeks left to go in the season. So Thursday night game, we've got Kansas City versus the Chargers in L.A. I know I just praised Kansas City quite a bit, but I'm going to take the Chargers at home. They're hot as well. It just really depends on who plays better defense. Now that I talk about it, I might talk myself out of that pick, but if I change it, I'm always losing when I change it, so I'm just going to jinx myself either way, so I might as well just stick with the Chargers. After that, we got our own beloved Philadelphia Eagles, at only 4.5 right now when the spreads were out. I expect that spread to get much higher as these injury reports become final. I expect this game could be 8.5 at kickoff time, so I think Philly really this week should win this game like 30-7. I don't even know what Washington can do offensively. I think 7 might be a stretch. And I'm not being a homer. That's just what I'm talking about with this team. What do you see as far as this game?
When I saw the line, I saw it this morning, I was like, or even I seen like the little ESPN predictions and it was like 70% Eagles. I was like, man, people are picking the Eagles a lot this week. Like what's so different about this week? They've had close lines all year and Washington's been playing well. And then I saw the injury report. I go, oh, okay. I can see how Vegas is trying to get ahead of the spread because people are going to run it up, you know, for the Eagles, especially if they're that beat up on defense with a team that can run the ball. So, man, I think as long as we don't come out and throw the ball 10 times in a row, you know, nothing crazy. You know, we can get crazy sometimes, like where you go in that first quarter and you go, all right, we're going to run. And you'll see first play, run. Yes. Second play, pass. No worries, no worries. Third play, pass. No worries. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Come on now, Sirianni. What are we doing here? you know, and they're all different types of pass plays, too. It's like one's a RPO, one's a screen, one's a deep ball. You're just like, man, what's going on? I think the Eagles are going to have a lot of success, man. I don't want to slow down your picks, but I think they're going to have a lot of success, man. I really do. I think they're going to have a lot of success this weekend. All our backs are healthy. I'm going to lean on our strengths. All our backs are healthy. And if Jalen Hurts is able to sling the rock, then we are going to be laughing.
Yeah,
it's birds flying high. You know how I feel.
What's your score? What's your score prediction?
I think we can go 28-10.
All right. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Yeah, 37-28-10. 28-10. And it's really only because of the injuries. If this was a fully healthy Washington team with everybody in there, even you know losing Chase Young, I'm talking about the team that played the Cowboys before everybody got on the COVID list. Right. I would have said this would have been a much closer game. This would have been a battle. This would have been a division knockdown, dragout fight. But I just have a hard time seeing it that way. So we'll see what happens come Sunday. All right, after that game, we've got Cleveland at home giving 3 to Las Vegas. It was just announced today that Baker Mayfield is not going to play this week. So Case Keenum, blast from the past, is going to be starting that game. So I'm going to take Vegas coming off the the beatdown that they got. They should have a bounce back game in Cleveland, I hope. Indianapolis, believe it or not, at home, giving 2.5 points to New England. I got to take New England in that and their defense and just see what happens. I like Carson Wentz. Hope they have a good season because, well, actually, now that Carson Wentz has played 75% of snaps, or I think he's really close to it, I would like them to finish low and get that better first-round draft pick. So we'll see. After that, we got Buffalo giving 10.5 at home to Carolina. This is a tough one. Carolina's just playing bad football, but so is Buffalo at a point. But 10.5 points, I'm going to go ahead and give it. Arizona giving 13.5 to Detroit. There's some injuries on the Arizona front, so I may have to change this one. I heard something about Kyler Murray not playing in this game. And if that's the case, then I'll definitely be changing that pick. Miami's at home giving 9.5 to the Jets. I'm going to take the Jets only because their defense. And Miami is one of those games. They should win the game, but it should be relatively close. And it's a division game, so those are hard for me to take a big spread. Dallas, 10.5 at the New York Giants. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cowboys. I'm going to make this my double. The Giants are much worse than when we played them, so I expect Dallas to run over them even on the road. So I'll make that my lock of the week. Tennessee on the road, giving 2 to Pittsburgh. I can't even trust Pittsburgh these days. It's hard. Tennessee is starting to come back up again, so I'm going to take them on the road, giving only 2 to the Steelers. Jacksonville's at home, giving 3.5 to Houston. I've picked Jacksonville the last couple of weeks, and they burn me. And Houston is up and down, but I'm 3.5. This game probably should be maybe 3-2, one safety and one field goal as far as between these two teams. So I'm going to take Houston. Denver is given 1.5 to Cincinnati. Denver is at home. Cincinnati coming off the tough loss to San Francisco. They got to bounce back. This team's got too many weapons offensively to struggle this hard. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs this year, but I think Joe Burrow and company will give Denver what they're looking for, maybe bounce back with a win. Speaking of San Francisco, they're giving 9.5 to Atlanta. Can't trust Atlanta these days. San Francisco at home, they're looking good right now. I'll go ahead and take San Francisco, giving 9.5. L.A. Rams giving 4.5 to Seattle. I can't trust them. Sometimes Russell Wilson plays great, and sometimes he's playing really poorly. Got to go with the Rams because they're on a resurgence right now. They're actually starting, those players are starting to really look good, and they made the Arizona Cardinals look pretty small, not just because Kyler Murray is pretty small, but they just made him look really small. Aaron Donald was eating his lunch all day last week. Green Bay is given 4.5 on the road to Baltimore. Got to take Green Bay because Baltimore seems to be struggling really bad. Nothing seems to change much other than they're just not playing great football. They were playing it well at the start of the season. They're starting to taper off a bit. Tampa Bay and Tom Brady given 10.5 to New Orleans. That's probably not near enough. New Orleans is really struggling right now. So Tampa Bay at home, given 10.5, I got to go with Tampa Bay. And finally, the Monday night game is the Minnesota Vikings on the road, giving 3.5 to Chicago. I can't trust Chicago. They got a good defense, but they're just not. At this point of the season, I'm starting to tend to take more favorites because the weaker teams in the league tend to just start to give up about this time of the season. The ones where they don't have a shot at it, you start to look at a trend over picks against the spread. Is by this week, when the teams are eliminated or close to being eliminated, they're already thinking about the golf course. And so you got these teams that like Minnesota, who we're trying to fight. Now, I hope Minnesota loses that game because that solidifies our spot in the playoff run. If Minnesota and we beat Washington, that really solidifies their spot in that grouping. We're not going to pass the Niners. We're not going to pass the Rams. So we're going to have to hope that, you know, we stay in that solid last spot by these other teams falling off as we're winning games. So that's our picks for Week 15 in the NFL against the spread. So it's going to be a fun week.
Yes, sir, man. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to just my Eagles finishing out this year. Like I said, fantasy football quarterfinals, so that's always fun.
You got a big smile on your face. Big smile on your face.
A lot of COVID going on, man. It's a lot of COVID, so it's no telling, man. I could have half my players out come Sunday. So
isn't that crazy?
I'm just crossing my fingers, really, more than anything else. So we'll see what happens.
And we'll be crossing our fingers, too, for a dominant Eagles win over a very highly depleted, injured Washington football team. I'm already looking forward to Sunday, chilling on the couch, and looking forward to this win. I hate to say that, because you know me, I'm a very negative Eagles fan. I try not to be. But this week, when I look at that injury report, it's like, how can you not expect the Eagles to win this week at home against third stringers? I mean, and that's literally what it is. I can't stress that enough. So I'm going to be enjoying myself. Any plans this weekend? Too. Any big plans besides the Eagles game?
Just Eagles, really, man. Eagles. You know, really focus on seeing if we can make the playoffs. you know, seeing how this team finishes out the season, man.
Sounds good. I got a couple of things I got to say. It is my wife and I's 29th anniversary on Saturday. Wow. So we're going to be going out. I know, 29 years. Hard to believe she put up with me that long. I wouldn't have been. I've been out after the first year if I was married to me. And another thing is I owe my son an apology. I ragged on the Dolphins quite a bit when the Eagles were playing the Giants. And, you know, and I mentioned how they even beat the Dolphins or something like that. And he pointed out to me that they had won five in a row or something like that. And I did look at the records and I was like, yeah, I shouldn't. Granted, it wasn't the strongest of opponents, but mm-hmm. win's a win. You win that many games in a row, then you should have a little bit of praise. So I am going to say I'm sorry. Dolphins still suck, but not as bad as I made it out to be. They could. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but stranger things have happened. All right, then. Thanks for tuning in. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Twitch, thank you very much. You can always catch the replay. And if you're listening to us on one of the podcast providers we have out there, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castro, Podcaster, we thank you as well. Always remember to like and subscribe on those so you can always get updates from us. If you want to email us, you can email us at our address, which is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. We will be back next Monday live on those three providers to discuss the Washington football team game. Until then, I will turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a good weekend, everybody.